We've been here 38 years, and it's amazing to see what all God has done over 38 years. And in May, we'll celebrate 39 years as a church. And so legacy has been a part of this for countless amount of years. And we have literally generations, like more than, like there's some families that have three generations in the church. And so you have a grandfather, a father, and a son, and some of them got even grandchildren that are coming in. So almost four generations that are a part of the church. And that's what legacy is about. It's about building on generations, not just by age, but by belief. And it's important that we come around and we understand that we're called to stand taller as the next generation. You're not meant to go through the same battles that the generation before you went, because if they fought that battle, why do you need to fight the same battle? You've got a different battle to fight. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Because if you have to fight the same battle, then you didn't win. If you have to go through the, not to say that you don't need to go through struggle. We all need to go through struggle, because struggle refines us. It makes us stronger. It builds character. It builds integrity. I'm not saying make their life as easy as, you know, cupcakes and butterflies. No. There needs to be some struggle. They need to have some dirt on their hands. They need to have some wounds on them. They need some scars. Why? Because scars tell a story. So I'm not saying that, but that we just make it easy. But I'm saying that when you fight for the next generation and they get to stand taller, see farther, and accomplish more. I'll say it like this. I told it to somebody who told me this many years ago when I stepped into youth ministry. They said, man, you got big shoes to fill. We had a great youth pastor before me, and he's awesome. I still talk to him to this day. And, you know, he did a lot of great things. And they were telling me, man, you got some big shoes to fill. And I understood what they meant. How many of you have ever been told that before? Man, you got some big shoes to fill, because you stepped in to replace someone, or you stepped in to take over after someone. And I understand the meaning of it. But, you know, if you've taken on something after a little while, you get a little tired of hearing that. Right? Don't be so quiet. Right? Talk to me. Don't leave me by myself. And I told someone one time, I said, you know, I respect what you're saying, but let me just say this. They took their shoes with them when they left. And I said, I'm not called to fill shoes. I'm called to stand on shoulders. There's a difference. And that's what we want for the next generation. We're not here to just fill shoes. We're here to stand on shoulders. Stand taller, see farther, and accomplish more. Somebody say amen to that. You know, in my journey of following Jesus, I have learned that every time I said yes to God, I was saying yes to something I didn't fully understand yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I didn't know the details. I didn't know the cost. I didn't know the process. All I knew was that my yes began something. And sooner or later, that yes required this big word, trust. Somebody say trust. Because every yes to God eventually leads to a moment where you will say another yes. And that second yes is a little bit different. And when you study scripture, you see this time and time again. You see where Abraham said yes to God. He had his first yes. Then he had to say yes while he was asked to take Isaac up to the mountain. You see this with Mary. Mary said yes to the angel to be impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit to conceive a son by the name of Jesus. Then she had to say yes to the pregnancy, explaining it to people that may not believe it. See what I'm saying? The disciples, they said yes to following Jesus, but they didn't realize that they were going to have to say yes at a cross that they didn't understand yet. So in our life, we have a first yes, and then there are other yeses that come along with it. And I want us to look at a passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul is having to defend himself from the very church that he started. Isn't that a thing? Some of y'all don't know whether to stand or not. Go ahead, just go ahead and stand. They're bouncing in here. We are excited about the Word of God. All right. But Paul he's having to defend himself from the very church that he started. He's having to argue with something that he made. Have you ever wanted to throw your kids across the room? Like, if you don't shut your mouth right now, there's going to be an extra hole in that wall. If you don't, we're going to have another window. Come on, don't leave me hanging up here. I know somebody's already calling CPS, you know, whatever. But you see, they've reached a little disagreement, Paul and the church in Corinth. And Paul had told them that he was going to come spend some time with them. Last week we were in 2 Corinthians 9. I wanted to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And they've reached this disagreement. And Paul told them, I'm going to come. But then he had a change of plans, and some people didn't like that. They became very upset about him not coming like he said he was going to come, and they began to call him the fickle apostle. They kind of had a little bit of words to share with him. So what we're about to read today is his response to them, and you're going to see that Paul's got a little bit of sauce on his letter. Okay, we're going to pick this up in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 15 says this: because I was confident of this, meaning I thought we had a relationship. I thought you knew that I didn't move according to the world or how I feel. I move according to God's purpose. This is what Paul is trying to say. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. Somebody say twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and then come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Now, you got to understand, he is in preparation of setting up an offering that was going to be given to take to Judea, the people, the Christians in Jerusalem. And so he's talking about all this. He says in verse 17, was I fickle when I intended to do this? He's like, I know what you said about me. I'm going to go use it right back at you. Was I fickle when I intended to do this, or do I make my plans in according to worldly manner, so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and then no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen, somebody say amen, amen, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now, I want to preach to you this morning in this second week of our legacy series called The Second Yes. Somebody say the second yes. There's a first yes. We're going to talk about that. Then there is a second yes. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. I pray, Lord, today that you would speak to us in a supernatural way. Speak to us in the certain places of our life that we need to hear you. Help us, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts. If there is a cold heart in the room, God, turn this heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Let us receive all that you have for us today. Yes, your will and your plans are perfect. And God, we want to receive what you have. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said a big amen. Amen. Give someone a hug before you take a seat. A big old squeeze. I've noticed some of y'all starting to sit next to your crush in church, you know, so you can hug them in that moment. I'm helping you out. That's all right. See, y'all laughing because y'all know it's true. Have you ever said something, like said yes to something, and later realized that you really didn't know what you were saying yes to? Like you said yes to helping your friend, but you didn't really know that he was going to have you work all weekend and help him move. Like, you know, hey, can we just move a few things? And it takes you 18 hours. You know, you thought it was going to be 18 minutes. You know, marriage will test this theory real quick. I love this as a pastor because I get to stand at an altar with people from time to time, and it's really funny to me because their first yes is easy. You know, you're standing there and, you know, they don't really have a clue what you're really saying because they're so worried about all the things and making sure everybody sees them and, you know, and everything looks good and, you know, the bridesmaids didn't trip when they walked down the aisle and the little girl bringing the flowers is, you know, throwing it right and the rings are found, you know, all the things. Making sure you're not upsetting the mother-in-laws, you know. You got all these things that are happening. And as I'm standing there at the altar, I tell them, I'm like, all right, now let's just take a moment and I want you to look at me because I need you to hear these words. All that stuff don't matter. What this right here is what matters, okay? We're making a covenant and you need to know. And so you start talking to them about their I do's and their commitment to each other. And you're like, do you take this person to have and to hold, you know, for better or for worse, richer and poorer? And they're like looking at you like, yes, I love them. They're perfect. You know, they're just ready to say, yeah, I can barely get it out sometimes. They're already like, Like their mouth is already getting ready to say yes or say I do. And it's really funny to that because you really don't know what you're saying yes to when you say I do at an altar. It's like signing a blank check and giving it to someone. You really don't know what's going to be written in that box over there. Because you may say yes on your first yes, but maybe until they're hangry, until they're snoring, until they leave the kitchen cabinets open every time they go in the dang kitchen, until their family shows up like every other weekend. Oh, they coming again? Golly. Tell your mom to get a life, you know, whatever it is. The Bible says you shall leave your father and mother. Come on, you're like trying to preach at them. And you didn't just say yes to them. This is what you realize. You said yes to all that comes with them. Like, this isn't like say yes to the dress. Y'all remember that show, Say Yes to the Dress? This is more like say yes to the mess. Because you really don't know what you're getting into. And I know when I got married, I know for a fact that Kendall, my wife, did not know the full extent of what she was saying yes to. Because I know me. And me can be difficult. I know the grumpy me, the stubborn me, the hangry me, the control freak me. I know me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, we said yes to the part that we saw. But the second yes was for everything that would require trust. And every day you wake up and you're married, you have to say yes again. Every day. Because every day they change. Every day something has happened. They go through life. They go through heartbreak. They go through different experiences. And every day you have to make a choice to love that person and to say yes. Because love is not a feeling. Because if I as easily just fall into love, I'll just as easily fall out of it. No, love is a choice. And every day is another yes. A second yes. And here's the thing I'm trying to get you to see, to show you this parallel. You see, saying yes to Jesus was easy. Why do I say that? Because your yes is connected to receiving, right? We received grace. We didn't earn it. It was easy. We received forgiveness. We received mercy. We received salvation. That first yes was easy. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I receive it, right? It's easy for us. Not easy for him, but it was easy for us. But the second yes is very different. Your second yes is saying, I trust you when I don't see it yet. That yes is a little bit different. Your second yes says, I realize my timeline and in exchange for yours. Like, I don't understand it all. My second yes says, I'm committed to your purpose even if I don't understand the plan. And so Paul is coming to them and he's asking them the question, was I fickle? Did I say yes and no in the same breath? What he is saying is, you misunderstood the plan, but the purpose hasn't changed. And isn't that where we often get frustrated? Because God will change the plan to keep us aligned with his purpose. Have you ever had God change your plans? All the time. Well, God, I thought we were going to do this. He said, yeah, well, that's what happens when you think. We will often look at God as if he is fickle because the plan's changed. Because what you thought isn't happening because someone told you they would and then they didn't. But I've got to set the record straight today. It is people that are fickle. And their yes is different than God's yes. God is not fickle. He is faithful. Does anybody believe that today? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God is not a man that he should lie. If God said it, he will be faithful to complete it. All of God's promises, the Bible says, are yes and amen. You see, we love to quote the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. Some of y'all got it on coffee mugs, you got it in your home, you wear it on a shirt, maybe you came to church today and it says Jeremiah 29:11. We like that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. We got it on the back of our bumper stickers of our car. We love it. Why do we love it? Why? Because God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And we're like, thank you, Jesus. And we like that. But I want you to notice, you notice how it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, not you know the plans that you have for you. We like Jeremiah 29:11, but we often skip verses 12 and 13 because we don't like those verses. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans not to harm you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Like you. Thank you, Jesus. We all want that. How many want plans for not to harm you? Plans to prosper you? Plans to give you a hope and a future? How many say yes to that? But then the Bible goes on to say something else. Then it gets to verse 12 and 13 and it says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. Oh, wait, so I got to do something. Then he goes on a little bit further. He says, and you will seek me and find me when, somebody say when. When you seek me with all of your heart. See, what's interesting about this is he said, you will seek me and then you will find me. And when you seek me, that will happen. What will happen? The promises, the plans, the hope in the future. But we don't like that verse. Because that verse is not, we don't like the part about seeking him because that verse is about him. It's not about us. We like the part where God's talking about his plan for us. Plans to prosper us. Plans that not harm would come to us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. And there is another part where even Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. We like the first yes. Yes, Lord, to promises. Yes, Lord, to power. Yes, Lord, to all the things that you said that I can have. I've got good plans for you. Thank you, Lord. But we often have a hard time with our second yes. Why? It's because of this. Your first yes is convenient. Your second yes is a covenant. Your second yes changes everything. In other words, the first yes receives the promise. The second yes now has to follow the process. And that process gets difficult. Your first yes says, I love my wife. Your second yes says, and it means, I'm going to stay committed to her. Your first yes means, I love my church. Your second yes means, I'm going to be invested in it. And you see, it's hard to appreciate what you're not fully invested in. This is why some people don't appreciate their marriage as much as they should because they're not as invested in it. This is why some of them don't appreciate their kids as much because they're not as fully invested in it. This is why some people don't even appreciate their church because they're not fully invested in it. Your first yes means I love my God, but your second yes means I'm going to trust his purpose. That second yes carries a different weight. The second yes is what gives you access to God's purpose for your life. And here's what I have found. I did not say yes to understanding God's plan when I said yes. I didn't say yes to understanding it. I said yes to God, not to understanding the plan. Last time I checked, I didn't say yes to a genie. I said yes to a God. But we like to treat God like he's a genie. We like to come to him when we need something. We want to rub on the lamp and say, God, give me this. And God's like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. I'm not your spare tire that when you have a blowout, you call upon me and then try to change it out. No, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And that is a daily decision. Now, here's where this thought about legacy comes in. You see, your first yes to salvation changed your story. Your second yes makes room for one more story. Your first yes opened a door for you. Salvation and grace, forgiveness, hope in a future. But your second yes, it actually opens a door for somebody else. That way they can receive the same hope, the same salvation, the same future, the same grace, the same forgiveness. And see, legacy is the second yes of the church. Legacy is the second yes of faith. Legacy is saying, God, since you said yes to me, I will say yes to your mission. This is where the second yes comes in. Why? Because there is still one more person who needs hope. There is still one more family who needs restoration. There is still one more generation that needs belonging. There is still one more teenager that needs identity in Christ. And the truth is, God has chosen us, Skybreak Church, to do what? To build for one more. Somebody say one more.
One more.
One more. One more person, one more story, one more family, one more generation, one more fully devoted follower of Jesus, one more. That one more is your friend, that one more is your family, that one more is your neighbor, that one more is your closest person that you love. One more, somebody say one more. Our second yes says yes to one more. Our first yes is yes to what God wants to do for us. But then the second yes says, God, what do you want to do? Not just for me, but through me. That's the second yes. And that yes comes with trust. And in a few weekends, in our legacy offering on December 7th, we're going to have an opportunity. And you see, legacy offering is not about payment. It's not about pressure. It's not about performance. It's about participation in God's purpose. It's us saying, God, you can have all that I have because everything I have has been given to me by you. It is not mine. I want you to realize this today, that the life that you live on this earth is not your own. That your life is not your own. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you pick up your cross daily and you accept what he has for you. That becomes a hard decision sometimes. Because then our plans, what we want for our life, start to get in the way of God's plans. And God's like, yeah, that's not my plan for you. That's what you want, but that may not be what I want. And so we get upset with God when God tries to alter our plans. But the truth is, what we think will give us fulfillment only happens when we follow the will of God, not our plan. When we come together and we say our second yes to God, our second yes is a yes to his yes. His yes was coming and becoming his own creation and laying his life down on a cross. How many are thankful that Jesus laid his life down for you and that you can say yes to his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness? But now comes the opportunity for a second yes. A yes to his purpose. A yes to his plan. You see, for some of you here today, your first yes has been very real. It was real. You sat in this room. You sat in a room. You had a moment with God. You had tears maybe coming down your eyes. Your heart was racing out of your chest. And you said yes. Yes to God. Yes, forgive me. Yes, give me hope in the future. Yes, I receive your plan and your purpose. But your second yes has maybe been hesitant. And here's what I have found in my life. Is that most people who just say yes, the first yes, and are stuck between the first and the second yes, what they're really saying is yes, but. Somebody say but. They're saying yes, but God, if you ask me to do something uncomfortable, that's a big but. Yes, but until things get hard, God. Until the world starts getting crazy and I don't really know what to do. Yes, but if they don't, the things don't go the way I want them to go. Yes, but if you ask me to turn the other cheek to that person one more time. Yes, but if you ask me to serve or to give or to get on a team at church or be a part of Legacy. Yes, but if the preacher starts preaching about something that I disagree with, yes, but. And people would rather stay stuck in a rut in their own life than instead of removing their butt. I think it's time to remove your butt. Turn to your neighbor and look at them real quick. Say, it's time to remove your butt. Say, you got a big butt and you cannot lie. We like to come to God and we say, yes, but God, if you have me do this, I don't know about that. Yes, but if I face, start facing some hard things. Yes, we have this kind of thing attached to it, this condition. You know, we have conditions for God, but we're not meant to have conditions for God. We may do that with other people in our life, yes, but until you make me not trust you again, I won't trust you. Yeah, but God is not people. God is God. He is not fickle. He is faithful. Somebody say faithful. So how do you then achieve your purpose in life? Your second yes. Your second yes. What does that mean? That means you'll say things like, I'm hurting, but I will still say yes. I may feel broken right now and I don't understand it, but I'm going to still say yes. I don't know a way out right now, but I'm going to still say yes. It doesn't look like what God has said, but I'm still going to say my second yes. Your first yes starts something, but your second yes is what's going to finish it. That's the thing that's going to see you through. And I came to wake up our church today to say that I want you to be shouting this in your spirit today, that it is yes and yes over my family. It is yes and yes over my future. It is yes and yes for one more person, one more story, one more generation, one more family. So shut up, devil. You can't have me. You can't have my purpose. You can't hold on to me. You can't offer me anything. It is still yes to my God. So be it with me as it has been said unto the Lord, that God, if you want to change my plans for your purpose, you can change them. If you want to cancel my plans for your purpose, then you can cancel them. Because here I am, Lord, and you can have it all. I'm going to give you my first yes, and I'm going to give you my second yes, and another yes, and another yes. Come on, somebody just shout yes. Somebody shout yes.
And it's treasures, everything else will be added, all that I need. I don't know
how many believe that too.
You will provide.
You will provide.
Cause I know my God's heart is heavy. He gives us blessings. Oh,
that he's not a God who is empty-handed. That when I say my second yes, his promises are yes and amen to me. Come on, give Jesus a praise today. God, I'll give you my second yes. I'll give you my third yes, my fourth yes, my fifth yes. Even though I don't understand it, God, I still say yes. You know, we say we would like God to give us the full plan. God, I need you to spell it out. Give me the blueprint. And God's like, yeah, if I showed it to you, you wouldn't even say the first yes. Have you ever had that argument with your kids? Any parents in the room? You know what I'm talking about? Like, your kid's like, but why? And you're like, because I said so. And you knew that even if you were to explain it to them, in the best way that you can, they still not going to understand it. You're like, you can't even comprehend what I'm saying right now. You know, our kids' favorite question is why? Why? You know, our favorite question to God? why? And you know what God is saying back to us today? Because I said so. So I may not understand the plan, God. It may not be like what I thought it was. I know I've been praying for this. I know I've been hoping for this. But I'm going to still say yes. Because your plans are higher than my plans. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. As high as your thoughts and your plans are above my plans and my thoughts are as high as the heavens are above the earth, the Bible says. You look at your neighbor for a second and say, because God said so. Because they've been asking God, why? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I going through this, God? I've been faithful to you. I've been preaching your word. I've been doing all these things. I've been loving people. I've been loving God. I've been serving in church. I've been even returning my time. But God, why is this happening? And God's like, if I were to explain it to you, you wouldn't understand it. But maybe the question comes. Maybe God is saying, because you said your second yes. Anybody say their second yes? Because you said your second yes. He says, I am preparing you for something I've already got prepared for you. And if I were to explain it to you now, you would not take the appropriate steps to get where I'm trying to lead you. So if you want access to the purpose of God for your life, your second yes has to come through. And when you say yes and you follow Jesus, trust him, and you just take one step in front of the other, it will take you where God is trying to get you. You see, here's something else that we fail to realize. You know, we look at our life and we're like, but yeah, but I'm not where I want to be. Like, God, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be yet. I can't. Can I just tell you to think about this for a minute? If here is where we feel like God is telling us to go, and we are right here, and it's like, I can see it, but God, I'm not there yet. I'm praying, God, but nothing's changing. I just want you to take a minute and turn around, and I want you to look, because where you came from was all the way over here, and sometimes we fail to remember, God has brought me a mighty long way, and I've just been walking and trusting, and I'm gonna look back and be like, look at how far God has brought me. I know I'm not where I wanna be, but I'm not where I used to be. So I'm gonna keep walking, I'm gonna keep trusting, and yes, as I go higher, it's gonna get harder, but I'm gonna keep trusting my God, because he's got perfect plans for me. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope in the future, plans to not harm you, that if God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, somebody shout yes. God, I'll give you my second yes. God is the friend that's got the money that you just get to ride with. You know, you got one of those friends that they pay for everything when you go with them. Anybody got one? You need to find yourself a friend like that. You go to dinner, like, I got it. Why? Because God's blessed them and they're blessed to be a blessing. God is like that for you. God, I don't have it. He goes, okay, I got it. I actually already paid it. It's paid in full. When you went in, it was like, go ahead and eat. Enjoy. Here's the thing I want you to know. I say this with all humility in my heart today, and I want you to hear my heart in this. There's people that will come to this church that will never tithe, that will never give it an offering, and guess what? We're still saying, hey, come on in, because why? Because it's for one more. It's okay, come on in. We'll still serve you, we'll still love you, we'll still give you everything we've got. I'll preach my heart out every single weekend, because I'm not just doing it for you, but I'm doing it for one more people to go to heaven, one more person to fill up heaven, one more family, one more story. But because that's who we are, God's called us to be generous. And if it's our privilege, it means we'll do it no matter what. That's who we are, church. No matter what. Right? Because I said my second yes. I may not understand what's all happening, but I'm going to still say yes, God. I'm going to say yes to your plan, yes to your purpose, yes to your will. And God, whatever you speak, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust. You know, I've used this analogy before, but, you know, trusting God can feel like you're walking into a dark room looking for the light switch. You know, in our homes today, we go in and we walk in the doorway and we can go, and we can flip a switch and the light comes on and it makes it really easy to see. But trusting God is not that simple. We like to say it is. It's easier said than done. I know. But when you trust God, it's like walking into one of those older homes that's got a string, you know, in the middle of the room. and it's dark, and you're not really sure where you're going, but you're just doing one of these. You're trying to make sure you don't stump that toe because you don't want to be speaking in tongues, you know, and saying other words that you're not supposed to say. And so you just, and all of a sudden though, as you're taking steps, right? Taking steps, you see what I'm doing? I'm taking another step. I'm in the dark, Lord. I don't know where you're at sometimes. I know you're there. I know you're there. I'm going to keep trusting. And then eventually you're going to find that strength, and light's going to come on, and the room is going to be lit up. All that happened though is because I kept taking another step and another step and another, and I'm reaching, and God's like, I'm right here. Just keep coming. I'm right here. Just keep coming. Just keep trusting. I'm preparing, but God, I'm afraid. And God's like, yeah, I'm going to use that fear, and I'm going to turn it into faith. Just keep trusting. Just keep trusting. God, but it's not happened yet. But yes, I know. But I'm building some integrity in you. I'm building some character in you. I am molding you. I am preparing you. And I know it's hard right now, but if you just keep trusting it, you're going to be grateful. You're going to turn back to the face and say, man, I've come a mighty long way. And thank God for it. Come on, give Jesus some praise today. Somebody just needs to know it today. God is faithful. He is not fickle. God is faithful. He's faithful. You're going to be so tired of hearing me say the word faithful, but I want you to know when you leave here today that God is faithful. He's faithful. I know he's faithful because I've seen it happen in my own life. I prayed for my mother for 28 years, and he was faithful for all those years. And no, it didn't end like I wanted it to, but it ended like he wanted it to. And she is in mighty places right now, looking back and saying, just keep me faithful. Just keep being faithful, because this is not our home. I had my son ask me this the other day. For those that don't know our story, my mother passed in 2024. April 15th was the day of her passing. She battled cancer for 28 years. And I had my son, my oldest son, he was asking me a question. It was just me and him in the truck the other day. We were driving. He said, Dad, if Grammy had the choice, he said, if you had the choice to bring Grammy back for a week and have one more week with her, or choose for her to stay where she's at, what would you choose? That's a hard question, y'all. Because my flesh goes, well, I want her. I'll take another week with her. I just want to hug her again. I just want to talk to her again. I want her just to say a few things. If you've lost someone, you know that feeling. But as I sat there and thought about it in my spirit for a minute, I said, Chan, where she's at, she don't want to be here. Because she's in her eternal home. And so there's no pain. There's no sorrow. She may be seeing us through a foggy mirror, is kind of what Paul describes, looking through like a stained glass, a foggy glass. But she don't see all of this. She doesn't experience what we're experiencing. And so as much as I would want her here, she would tell me no. Like she told me many times in my life, no, I'm not coming right now. You'll come see me one day. And there's things like that we have to understand, that there are times when what we are wanting and versus what God is wanting is going to be vastly different. And when we die to ourselves, the Bible says, when we die to our flesh and we pick up our cross and we walk in the plans and purposes of God, it says that he will be with you and he will lead you. This is why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. We're going all kind of places today. This isn't all in my sermon, but I just feel the Spirit of God wanting me to share these things. This is why you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Some of you have been afraid of it, maybe. And you're like, I know God the Father, and I like him. I know Jesus the Son, he's great, he saved me. But this Holy Spirit thing, I don't know about that. Jesus said, I came to bring you a comforter, and it is better that I go so he can come. He said, I'm going to send it to you. It's what lives in you when you accept Jesus. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of it. This is why we can sing and say things and read scriptures that we have resurrection power in our veins. Because the Spirit of the living God, when you said yes, your first yes to Jesus, comes and lives on the inside of you. This is the temple of God, and you now are carrying the temple everywhere you go. And you need the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, do you need it to live your life? You need it to go into Walmart. You need it to go into all kinds of other places. You need it to do anything. You need it to raise kids. Oh, Lord, you definitely needed to raise your kids. you need the Holy Spirit, and some of you, you've been afraid of that, and I just want to encourage you. Ask God, give it to you. To say, Lord, let the Holy Spirit just become alive in my life. You've got it if you received him. But say, God, let it come alive in my life. And that way, when you pray, when you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, they call it like a sixth sense. I feel it in my gut sometimes. If you know how God speaks, he'll speak to people in all kinds of different ways. That I feel him in my gut. I'm like, God, I know that's you. And it don't matter what anybody else says, I know that's you. And there's been times in my life, I've had even my grandparents sitting like, I don't know if that's God. I'm like, well, I know. I know. And he's like, well, if you know without a shadow, I'm like, I know that he said something. Now, I don't know the plan, but I know he said, do this. And so I feel like Abraham, go into a land I'll show you. So I'm just going to start packing up and I'm going to start walking. And he's going to show me somewhere down the line and I'll go to where he's calling me to go. I'll go to the promised land. I'll get there one day. So I just want to encourage you today. Your first yes was yes to Jesus, but your second yes is what's going to give you access to your purpose. And that second yes requires trust. Trusting in a God that is faithful. Look around this room. God is faithful. There's story after story across this room where God has been faithful. And don't forget God's many blessings in your life. Don't have amnesia to a faithful God. We can do that oftentimes. We can forget, God, I can't remember. And God's like, I've been there. I've been there the whole time. He says, I never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's what his word says. And he'll be faithful. I want everyone to close their eyes for a minute because there's some of you in this room today or on the other side of a screen that you're hearing us talking about the second yes, but you have yet to say your first yes. Your first yes to Jesus. Your first yes to forgiveness. Your first yes to salvation in Jesus who came and was nailed to a cross. The Bible says that by his blood being poured out. It was poured out for the forgiveness of sin, your sin and mine. And Jesus came to give you this amazing word that is called salvation and it's called grace. Something we don't deserve. You can't earn it. You can be a great person. You can give to the poor. You can be kind to people. All those things are great. But if you don't receive Jesus, none of that matters. Jesus said it very clearly. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one gets to the Father. No one can go to heaven. No one can see the Father unless they accept me. So today I want to give those of you the opportunity to say your first yes. Yes to Jesus. Yes to salvation. Yes to grace. Yes to forgiveness of your sin. And if that's you today, whether for the first time or today, you've come in here and you just know, you know and you're knower that your life is not right with God. You're like, I need to say yes to Jesus again. I need to turn my life around. I need to give it back to him. And say, Jesus, have the reins. I'm going to trust you like walking in that dark room. I know you're there, but I'm going to keep taking one step after the other. To keep reaching for you. And God is like, I'm right here. We often think that we're the ones holding God up, but God is the one that's holding you up. He's got you right now, right where you need to be. I don't think it's by accident you're in this room today or you're watching from the other side of a screen. God knew. And he said, yeah, I want to give you this invitation today to say your first yes. So all across this room, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want us to pray this prayer out loud where our ears can hear us and say, dear Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. And on the third day, being raised to life to give me life. I receive you now. I'd ask today that you would forgive me of all my sin and help me from this day forward to follow you. Today I give you my first yes. Tomorrow I'm going to give you my second one. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate all these people today. Come on, let's make some noise for these people today. Thank you, Jesus. One final thing I want to do before you're dismissed today. You can stand to your feet all across the room. Here's what I want to do. If you pray that prayer today, I'd love to put a Bible in your hands. I'd love to help you with some next steps. You're not meant to do this journey alone. You're not meant to walk it by yourself. You're meant to be a part of this amazing church family. And I'm glad to be able to welcome you today to the family of God. Church, can we welcome these people one more time to the family of God? Here's what I want to ask. On the count of three, if that was you today, my team is already across the room. They're ready to give you a Bible. They want to give you these next steps. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Take a big, bold step of faith. And I want you just to lift your hand on the count of three and say, Pastor, that was me. I received Jesus today. I said my first yes. Are you ready? One, two, three. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, God bless you. Come on, church, let's celebrate with these people. Say, I said my first yes. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, did you receive the word today? Somebody say yes. God, we're going to give you our second yes. Come on, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.